Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we worship you. We're so thankful for the blessings of God. There are religions that say that God doesn't care. There are religions that say that if you're not one of us, God wants to do you harm, such as the Muslims. There are all sorts of messages out there, but there's only one message that says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, we thank you that Jesus came to the earth to give his life for us. Thank you that you didn't just leave us in our sin. Thank you that you just didn't forget about us. Thank you that you didn't just wipe us off the face of the map and try again. Thank you that you took time for sinful man. And Lord, thank you that you took time for me, Joey Kelly. I appreciate it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or this way. When as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, before they had the ceremony and before they consummated their relationship, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That's an amazing thing. That is an amazing thing, which we'll get into in a second. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I'm asking, Lord, for the hand of God to somehow help me. I know I need it. But also, Lord, give us understanding. Help my listeners as well. We ask for a touch from heaven. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I jotted a few notes this afternoon before I came to the service, and I'd like to share them with you. Verse 18 and 19. It says that Joseph found a girl he wanted to marry, and they had set the wedding date, perhaps, or something. They had publicly said, hey, we're engaged, we want to get married. And I don't know exactly how Jewish customs were back then. It was 2,000 years ago. I've been to a Jewish wedding currently, actually a couple of months ago. And it's remarkably, at least what I saw, it resembles at all what happened back in the time of the Lord. It's remarkably like a Gentile wedding. There are promises made and there's a unity and there's a dedication and there's purity and a promise of purity and faithfulness and what have you. But these verses here, you know, it's 2012. Half of all marriages end in divorce, at least half. I was listening to a radio program not that long ago. It said that there was somebody on that's an expert in this stuff. He said that in Bossier City, which is right across the Red River from Shreveport, the divorce rate is 101%. 101%. Imagine that.
Could it be one extra percent?
I don't know. I can't explain that. 101%. I don't know why the preachers don't just give up and say, you know, this is a waste of time. But this society is going down the tubes. This society, everywhere you look, on radio, music, television, movies, the message is, hey, you want to go do it? Go do it. Marriage, who needs that? There's no stigma anymore. It used to be 20, 30, 40 years ago, if this case happened, not a virgin birth, but some girl was found to be pregnant without the benefit of marriage. Nobody wanted to talk about it. And people were ashamed. I remember when I was a kid, that was unheard of, to have somebody that was pregnant outside of marriage. We know it happened. But generally, by and large, that was an oddity. People were ashamed of that happened. They went maybe away out of state to visit relatives for, 9 months or something. People were ashamed. Nowadays, no one's ashamed. It's perfectly okay, perfectly all right to be in a single-parent home. I don't want to make any political comment. Politics really has nothing to do with it. The fact is, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah stood up and said, what you guys are doing is wrong. Few preachers today want to stand up behind a pulpit or get on TV and say that you're in sin. Your ways are wrong. If you keep on, you'll end up not in heaven but in hell. Nobody wants to say it. But sin is still sin. Fornication is still fornication. Adultery is still adultery. But again, everywhere you look, the message is, who needs marriage? If it feels good, do it. But if the preacher won't tell you it's wrong, who will? Hollywood? Well, they're the ones with the other message. CNN? They're not going to take a stand. If they take a stand, it's going to be to say that, hey, those fundamentalist Christians, who are they to tell you what to do? But nobody's going to stand up and say, sin is sin and immorality is immorality. It falls to the odd preacher to do it. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I preached this morning in another church in another town, and I said that God loves the sinner. God is not out to destroy the sinner. God is not out to punish or condemn. Jesus, when I believe it's John chapter 8, I think, maybe I'm mistaken, when he was confronted with a woman caught in adultery, he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." I'm not here to condemn anyone. If you found yourself in some kind of situation, be it adultery or drug addiction or who knows what, stealing out the cash register, whatever the deal is, I don't condemn you. If you think this preacher of righteousness is here to tell you that you're evil or anything like that, well, fine. Sin is sin, I understand, but I have no judgment against you. The Bible says it's wrong. I tell you it's wrong, but the Bible also says that God loves you. 1 John 1:9, I understand it generally is supposed to refer to Christians, but it says that if we sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, to the woman caught in adultery, he said, "Neither do I condemn thee." But the message, the rest of it is, go and sin no more. We need to repent of sin. We need to feel sorry for sin. We need to say, "Hey, I know I've done wrong against God, but I want to do right. Lord, help me to do right." And with a sincere heart, God will help you to do right. He'll give you power to resist the devil. Verse 20. The angel said to Joseph, "Thou son of David." What a wonderful, wonderful thing to say. "Thou son of David." We preached a week or so back. It says right here in verse 1 of this first chapter of Matthew, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. King David, the one that sits on the throne, through his line, Jesus would come. And we've gone through the genealogy. We've gone through the lineage of Christ. And it's an honor that the angel said, "Joseph, thou son of David." But he said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife." Don't be afraid. I understand that what they're going to say about the kid. I understand you can't explain it. I understand it's embarrassing, but go ahead and take her to be your wife. You can look at perhaps Hosea when God was embarrassed, but then he said, "Come back." You say, "I've messed up. I've done things wrong. I've done a lot of things wrong." But God is quick to say, "I'll overlook it. I'll forgive." God forgives. God is quick to forgive. We know from the story of the prodigal son. The son wasted everything he had. He wasted half his father's money. But he came back and said, "I'm not worthy to be a servant in my father's house." He repented. I understand it. He realized that he was doing wrong. He came to his senses, as I hope some of you listening by radio might come to your senses about sin. He repented, he humbled himself, and he went back home. But the father saw him coming, was waiting for him to come, and finally, after months, I guess, "Hey, there he is coming in the distance. Get my robe, get the ring, kill the fatted calf. My son, he was dead, but he's alive again." God loves the sinner. Again, if you're in adultery or fornication or whatever, it's wrong. You need to stop. But God loves you. God loves you. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. But the next portion here, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. We understand the virgin birth. We understand that. But this phrase says that this child in her was from the Holy Ghost. It's directly from God, in other words. If you are in church, if you are singing in the choir, or you're doing something religious, make sure it's just not religion, something that you do, that you're expected to do because grandma's sitting over there in the other pew and she wants you to do right. What you do for God, let it be something that God himself has put in your heart to do. If you're in church, let it be because you know that this message is true and you want to live right because God has convicted you of it. Don't have an outward religion. Don't go to church because you're expected. Go to church because you want to, because God has touched your heart. Too many times, too many Christians and preachers even do things that God never called them to do. We need to be about the Father's business, but we need to wait for the promise of the Father. We need to make sure that He's truly called us to do this or that. Too many churches have run into the ditch because they had their program instead of waiting and saying, Lord, what would you have us to do? But the next verse, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let's start with his people. Who are his people? The Jews. Salvation is to the Jew first, then the Gentiles. Jesus, every once in a while, we'll see in the Gospels that he talked to someone that was not a Jew. But mainly, he tried to limit himself to the children of Israel. His people, the Jews. The entire Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. The entire Old Testament testifies that man's a sinner, but God is the Savior and the Messiah is coming. And God will deal with your sins. He'll wipe away and wash away and cleanse your sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. The term means Savior. He's the one that we should look to. And he's the one that went to the cross for the sins of the world. He was a good man, Jesus was. Everybody would have been happy to have him in the choir, or maybe, let's make him bishop, I guess. Everybody would have been happy about Jesus in the church. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. We remember Lazarus. Lazarus came out of that tomb. He forgives sin. He does all of this stuff. But none of those things brought salvation. Jesus had to go to the cross. Generally, when we read these passages here, chapter 1, maybe chapter 2, maybe something in Luke, we think of the nativity story. And it's February, just a couple of months ago, we had Christmas. Everybody thinks in those terms, and that's fine. But Jesus had to go to the cross. He had to give his life a ransom for many. This needs to be understood. Say what you want. Do what you want. But at the end, you need to acknowledge the fact that men are sinners. You, me, everyone, sinners. And again, God does not condemn you, but you must have your sins cleansed. You must be forgiven. And you must begin to live right. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 22 and 23, it says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Again, the Old Testament prophesies of Jesus, foretells of Jesus, proclaims of Jesus, the one that is coming, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, there's another interpretation, which being interpreted is God with us. He's Jesus the Savior, but he's Emmanuel, God with us. If you've been listening and your heart is convicted because of the sin that you're in, he's the Savior, but then he wants to come to be with you, to live with you, to live inside of you by the agent of the Holy Spirit, to give you a new life and a new heart. He doesn't condemn, he saves, and he wants to come to live in your heart. It says in verse 24 that Joseph did what the angel said. Imagine that. Imagine that. We need to believe God, take him at his word, and when it says to do this or that, let's just do it. Let's obey God. Jesus said, if you love me, let's see you obeying my commandments. And then in another place he says, his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's an easy thing, I think, to follow Jesus. Takes a little courage, perhaps, but God helps you. And the last verse, don't get mad at me. It says that Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Verse 25, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. We know that word to be carnally no. In other words, they didn't consummate the marriage until Jesus was born. We know what that means. And as a matter of fact, not only did they consummate the marriage, the Bible tells us that Jesus had several brothers or sisters. Mark chapter 3, verse 32. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. This is one place where it mentions in the Gospels that Jesus had brothers, perhaps sisters. Mary was a virgin when Jesus was conceived and born. But the Bible says, don't get mad at me, get mad at the Bible. The Bible says that after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary acted like a normal married couple. They had sex, they raised other children. I don't care what you say, you want to get mad, that's fine, but the Bible says it. Well, you say, Brother Kelly, my church doesn't believe that. Well, I'm sorry. My Bible believes that. And that's what I'm concerned about, is what does the Bible say? Let God be true, but let every man be a liar, if that's the case. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We bless your name. We praise your name. And Lord, help us to follow and obey what the Bible says. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Been listening to the Joey Kelly broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.